time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the 16th verse, Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. And so please that you would open your Bibles to that chapter and verse. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along. We are just going to read to the end of the chapter. We'll get further than that today, but I want you to, we're just going to end with the 22nd verse, and then we'll read on a little bit later. And so Exodus chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 16. And he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and did as the king, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, "Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and have delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, every daughter ye shall save alive." Let's begin with prayer after we've read this section of Scripture. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Wonderful opportunity that you've given us to study your Word. And I ask that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your will and way today, that you may speak to us and we will listen to you. Please, dear Lord, that we won't be so prideful and so arrogant that we decide that we don't believe this part of the Scripture or that part of the Scripture, but we listen to your words, and we listen to them prayerfully and carefully, that they may touch our hearts and bring us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and also, Lord, that they will grow us close to you, that we may surrender to you and do your will and way. Please, dear Lord, speak to our hearts today, that we may hear your voice, that we may do your will, and you do that through your word. And please, dear Lord, that the Spirit of God, that he can touch our hearts today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have to study God's Word, and we have quite a time in the nation of Israel here where they have just, it's just the beginning of the nation of Israel. We find that the more they afflicted them, the greater they grew and the stronger they become, and it just, no matter what they did and no matter how cruel that they were to the Israelites, to the sons of Jacob and to their families. We know that Joseph is dead. We know that the sons of the brothers of Joseph is dead, that first generation that went down into the land. We have the name above here in the first chapter. And with Jacob came down into Egypt Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All these souls came out of the loins of Jacob, were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And then it tells us Joseph died, and just as I've said. And so now we have, time has passed, and the nation continues to get larger and larger. And the Pharaoh that knew Joseph has died. The Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. And so without that connection of how wise and mighty that Joseph was, and how that the blessings upon the land of Egypt were great because of Israel, well, it was turned. God used that too, that because of Joseph's power and strength that God had given him, Egypt had handed much blessings to Israel, to all the family of Judah and of Jacob. And so now, as we have all this in place, why, the Pharaoh dies, the king dies that knew Joseph. And that's in verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Well, as they became mightier and mightier in number and in strength, it began to worry those that in the king's quarters and the king himself. And so they decided they better start putting them down. And so they put them into slavery. And they had him build two treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. And so these great cities were built. And all this was taking place. And they just continued to afflict greater and greater misery up on the land of the nation of Israel in the land of Egypt. So all this was going on, and they just continued to grow, and they could not understand that. And so Pharaoh put out a decree to the midwives that any time a Hebrew child is born, kill the boy. The girl, the daughter, you can leave her live, but the son must die. And so you put that son to death. Well, the midwives, in God's hand, and I just want to show you how that God takes care of his own when we follow him. And these midwives feared God and didn't do as the king. Now, most of the time, that would mean instant death. But then when the midwives didn't do what they were told to do, they were brought before Pharaoh and says, what's going on here? And the midwives said, by the time we get there, these Hebrew women have the children. We're too late. And what can we do then? And so by this fear that they had, God blessed these midwives. And it's great to see, and it's still the same today, same God. When we serve him, even though it's under some nasty situations and terms sometimes, if we serve God and surrender to his will and way, you watch God work it out. And many times, you know, we try to take on what to do ourselves, but we need to be diligent, use the good sense that God has given us, seek his will and way in his word, and move forward, and just watch God work. That's exactly what happened here. The midwives feared God. They didn't follow that man's command, Pharaoh's command, and God blessed them because of it. Well, Pharaoh just made him all the more angry. And so Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river. Every daughter ye shall save alive. You know, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long that the nation of Israel would no longer exist if there's no men. And so, of course, the women weren't a problem because they weren't so mighty and strong. They were afraid, remember, that if an enemy would come against Egypt, that Israel would side against Egypt in favor of whoever the enemy was, and they would come and defeat Egypt. And so they saw the strength and the power in the men of Israel, and it terrified them. And so they just decided to use that strength and power and put them into slavery, to good use, as they were saying. Now, this Exodus, this book of Exodus, means the way out. And we're going to find, as we study this precious book, that this way out is through the blood. And if you have trouble with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have trouble with the beautiful pictures that we have through this book into the Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and as we see the deliverance of God's hand with this nation, and we'll find that it is going to be a work that's done through the blood. The redemption by blood, the redemption through the blood. And so please that you begin. You know, I've seen people that, boy, they just cringe when you speak of the blood. Well, that's because you don't know Jesus Christ. And anyone that denies the blood of Jesus Christ and the power and the presence of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ right now, according to the Word of God, is at the throne of God in heaven. Jesus Christ presented His own blood on our behalf, and that's what saves me, is Jesus Christ, His blood. Please, that you don't miss that. And as we study this book and continue to make a wonderful study of God's Word, you will see that. So please, open your eyes and open your ears and open your heart that you may see the truth. It may be contrary to what you've been taught all through your years, but you've missed it if you have, because that blood starts with Adam and Eve, when God puts those skins upon bloody skins upon Adam and Eve. It started there, and that blood doesn't end. It doesn't lose its power. It doesn't lose its strength, and it never will. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. And so please that you see that as we're studying this. And so as we're looking through this, and we have found now that Pharaoh is trying to put to death this nation, and the world has been trying to put to death the nation of Israel, and God won't allow it. And it's a wonderful example of the power and the presence of God. God will never allow the extinction of the nation of Israel, and they will continue as they are. They are mighty and they're strong. And so we're going to enjoy this as we continue. Now, the command has been set forth. There, you know, you would have thought that something would have happened to these midwives, but it didn't. That's God's protective hand. And so God always delivers. God will always bring it out. So Pharaoh turns it, and he charges all of his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, every daughter ye shall save alive." And we begin now with the reading in chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. "There went a man of the house of Levi, and took to him a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Remember what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to throw every one of them in the river, just drown them. "She hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags of the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark along the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, nurse it for me, I will give thee wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he called, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. She said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now let's go back to the beginning of the chapter 2 here, as we start this beautiful story and this beautiful message of Moses. And so we find that this time has started where there is, it just day after day, year after year, the burden becomes greater upon the nation of Israel. And the Egyptians just continue to make them and put them into a position of slavery, and it was a brutal, cruel slavery that they were in. And God, in His wisdom, began to hear their cry, and He brought forth. And here comes this man named Moses. Now, if you know the story, the end of the story, so to speak, why, you says, well, yes, I know what Moses has done. Well, we're not going to miss one part of this. Now, to begin with, we look at the parents, and here the only thing that we know is a man of the house of Levi took a wife, the daughter of Levi. We know they're both of the tribe of Levi. Now, if you've studied through the scripture, you'll realize that the tribe of Levi is the ones that God puts in control of the temple of the tabernacle. And so you hold that thought here, because here we have this man named Moses and Aaron, his brother. When it's all said and done, Aaron's brother and Aaron's sister, Moses' sister, all brothers and sisters, they have quite a role in the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, and with the walk through the 40 years and all the way to the promised land as they arrive. And so don't miss any of this study, but we find that's all that is said here about Moses' parents, is that they were the son, he was from Levi, she was from Levi, and they came together and had a son. And when they had the son, she looked upon him, and she loved that child. And she could not begin to put that child down and away from her. And so she hid that child, and she hid that child for 3 months. You think about that, as that child would cry and would whimper and different things. And for 3 months, she feared that an Egyptian would come by and hear that child cry and barge through the door and take that child out and put that child to death. And she just continued to hide, but she couldn't hide him any longer. And he had good lungs, and he just continued, as a child that age would cry. And so she had to do something, and so she did something. You know, there's a couple of ways that we can look at this. And, you know, do you just sit back? And you just say unto God, now, God, please, that you will bring my daughter and my son to the Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, will you please save my parents? Will you do that? Will you save my parents? Well, you said, you know, then all of a sudden years pass and your son and your daughter isn't saved, and or your mom and your dad isn't saved. And you turn to God and you say, God, why? Why didn't you save them? Well, God's question to you is, why didn't you tell them of me? You see, we have a responsibility. God has given us sense, and we know that there's things we're to do. And here, this seems maybe to you a strange thing to do, but she knew she couldn't hide this child any longer. And it was just inevitable that one day someone was going to hear that child, and it was going to be over, and that child would be put to death. And so she come and she took some bulrushes and she made an ark. And she took that ark and she with it and it she dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child in it. Now let's look just for a minute here. We have the ark being Noah's ark, and it was dabbed with slime and with pitch. We have the Ark of the Covenant that is to come, that we're going to find as Moses goes up on the mountain. He comes down with the plans to the tabernacle. And so when he does that, why, we'll find that at that time, you see, why, we have a third ark. So we have Noah's ark, we have Moses' ark, and then the Ark of the Covenant. And so here we're looking at this Ark of Moses. Now, different than the Ark of Noah's, the Ark that Noah had was a very large Ark. It too meant the salvation of his family. This would literally mean the salvation of the nation of Israel, because he will be the deliverer. And so he will deliver them out of the nation of Israel. And so what a wonderful time that we have when we look to this and we enjoy this time in this study. But we have here something that is similar to the Noah's Ark. It had the pitch. And with the case with the Ark of Noah, that pitch, the meaning of that is to weatherproof or to waterproof the vessel. Same here in the Ark of Moses. But different here, again, this is just a small little unit that just a baby goes in. But either way, we have the pitch to make it waterproof. But if you look at the definition of that word in other areas of the scripture, you'll find it to say atonement. The same word, atonement. And our salvation, our atonement is always through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you see back in the day of Noah with the ark, with a big boat, it was deliverance. And it was the deliverance come through the blood, the atonement. Here it's the pitch that shows us, gives us an example. We have the same thing now with this little ark, the small ark of Moses. It also has the pitch. Always will you find the atonement, salvation, deliverance has got to come through the blood. And so here we have Moses placed in the water, in the river, in this ark, put a top on top of it, and sends him down the river. And you says, well, what kind of common sense is that? Well, this woman, Moses' mother, was not an ignorant lady. She knew that Pharaoh's daughter bathed herself. She knew when she bathed herself down in this kind of a private area along the river. And only the maids would come down with her. And so here we find the trusting in the Lord that God would deliver her son. Whether she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would find this child, we're not sure what was in Moses' mother's mind other than she trusted the Lord. She knew that if she kept that child for herself and tried to protect it herself, that child would be put to death. So she did the only thing that she could imagine, and she sent that little child in that basket, covered with the pitch, covered with this slime. And again, that word pitch, and if we go back into the place in Genesis where we speak of the Moses, of Noah and the ark, we find that it speaks of the atonement. Here we have the atonement. When you get to the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, the only time the high priest could go in was the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. And on that Day of Atonement, they would go in and they would take the blood of an animal that they had caught, and they had to spread it 7 times across that mercy seat. You see, it doesn't matter if it's the Ark of the Covenant, it doesn't matter that it's Moses' Ark, it doesn't matter that it's the Ark that Noah had. Every one of them is deliverance, every one of them meant salvation for them, and every one of them has the blood. The atonement, the atoning power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Please, don't miss that beautiful picture as we tie all those things together. And we have here now Moses' mother taking on this responsibility and taking a look and making this ark and sending Moses downriver. And all of a sudden, very short time, and it's so short and so close, because if you'll notice what else took place here, Moses' mother sent Moses' sister alongside the ark to watch along the banks and watch where it went and where it, because she knew God's hand was upon it. She knew it would be fine. She knew this was the only means of salvation for this child. And so as Moses' sister watched the ark float down between the brush and the river there, and as it come down through and it got down to this place where Pharaoh's daughter saw it. And let's read that here in verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. This is Pharaoh's daughter. Some think maybe it's Pharaoh's sister. In the interpretation here, they're not sure, but it is of high authority. And we find that when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And look what happened here. When that child wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. You see, there was no question where this child had come from. This is one of the Hebrew children. She knew it was. Did she know it by some evidence, maybe of a cloth that it was wrapped in? How did she know? Well, she knew. And she still accepted because she had compassion, something that Pharaoh didn't have. Pharaoh had no compassion on the nation of Israel, had no love for the nation of Israel, but this lady did, and she had compassion upon this baby. And she said, again, this is a Hebrew child. I know it is. Well, here is the and then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' sister was alongside close enough that she noticed when that child was picked up, and she comes right over and she says to this lady, Pharaoh's daughter, said, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter says to her, go. And she went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, unto Moses' mother, take this child away and nurse it for me. I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she says, because I drew him out of the water. Because I drew him out of the water. You know, as we look here at this second chapter, we're beginning to see just early on here, as we begin this study, that Moses is going to be the deliverer. And we have a lot of things to cover before we get there, but Moses is going to be the deliverer. And God himself delivered Moses down into Pharaoh's very hand, into Pharaoh's daughter's hand here. And yet look how God's hand was at work. Placed that baby back into the mother's hands and arms to raise it, and then the mother brings it back unto Pharaoh's daughter. And she names it Moses. And so as we see this this statement so clearly, and Moses means that is drawn out. And so we have this child, Moses, and now he's growing into a young child now and growing up, and we're going to watch as we enjoy this this study. It doesn't take long to get from here to the other side of the of Moses. It's not going to take long. His time in Egypt is very short when it talks about what's taking place here. You know, my dear friend, as we look and as we enjoy this study, I need you to see very clearly that the pictures, the beautiful pictures we have of the saving grace, the saving power of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, please trust in Jesus today. Come to him by faith. Believe his word. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?